Welcome and hello from Brian. This is our 10th meeting, and it's time to practice and apply some of the resources that we have discussed so far in our listening experience. I'm also going to give you an answer to the two questions that I asked you to consider last week, and another one that, to my surprise, nobody has asked me so far. The first concept I want to revisit is the concept of phrases. These are comparable to sentences in speech or writing. Some sentences have just one short statement, ending with a full stop. Others can be longer, including subphrases that are separated by commas or semicolons. Some, which end with a full stop, are clearly not the end of the statement, and we have to keep listening or reading to get the remainder of the point being made. The easiest musical genre to discover these in is song, as singers use words with punctuation and they need to breathe, so these form the natural shape of the musical phrases. I'm going to use a very well-known song by Stan Jones as an example. It is the song Ghost Riders in the Sky. But the phrasing is not all that I want you to take out of this song. Please also notice as you listen how the music uses low and high pitches and color, and how these frame the mood of the song. What instruments are used? What is the intensity of the song, both emotionally and in terms of contrasts of loudness? Notice the changes of keys and how the phrases use both full stop type moments and moments more like commas. And particularly listen to the ending and decide if it is complete or leaves you wondering what comes next.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. But all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged sky. And up the cloud he draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. And fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming high, and he heard their mournful cry.
Yippee-yi-yo!
Soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire. As they ride on, hear their cry.
Yippee-yi-yo!
Save your soul from hell, riding on our range. Then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, trying to catch that devil's herd across these endless skies.
Yippee-yi-yo!
Yeah.
Among the features you may have heard, a three-chord opening which was repeated that sets up the minor key, with the guitar from the very first note setting up the rhythmic structure. We have heard female voices, massed voices, guitar, bass and keyboard. A relatively small range of notes that had a strong emphasis on the bass rhythms to drive the song forward. It had a fairly easy chord structure in a minor key, but a heavy and dense structure. The melody has a tendency to go up in pitch in successive phrases and then settles back down. There is a simple verse and chorus structure with five phrases in the verse structure and three phrases in the chorus structure. Did you notice how the rhythm was driven by the instruments rather than the drum kit? The drum kit only became more obvious as the song progressed. And how the song had a very clear and definite ending, which is unusual in this style of music where repeat and fade is far more common. While we are with Judy Collins, let's hear a less well-known song, which is almost the opposite of Ghost Riders, and the song is called Since You've Asked. There are many versions, but I've chosen what is in my opinion the best one, the one for voice and piano. The texture is light with only the voice and piano, but this song has very intense and unpredictable harmonies in the piano part, with the voice floating above. The mood is therefore very intense. Perhaps it's portraying the intense inner emotions of the singer as she tries to express her love in a simple external way that her partner will understand. Harmonically, this song also opens with the three-chord structure that we heard in the previous song. Please try to make sense of the piano harmonies. There is a verse structure of four long phrases, but this song has no chorus. Take note of the wonderful, emphatic change of key right near the end of each verse. This key change is especially clear in the last verse, as the singer tells of her expectation for something in return, and then the piece returns to the home key. This is a very floaty and definite ending, but it's designed to leave us feeling the mood of this piece even after the music ends. Please try to identify your mood at the end of this song. I'm not going to make any suggestions because I want your mood to come from your experience of listening to this song.
What I give you since you've asked is all my time together. Take the rugged sunny days, the warm and rocky weather. Take the roads that I have walked along, looking for tomorrow's time. Spills into yours, changing with the hours, filling up the world with time, turning time to flowers. I can show you all the songs that I never sang to one man before. We have seen a million stars lying by the water. You have climbed the hills with me to the mountain shelter. Taken off the days one by one, setting them to breathe in the sun. Take the lilies and the lace from the days of childhood, all the willow winding paths. nothing more.
You may need a moment for the mood that Judy Collins and her unnamed pianist have created to settle down. I want to use this point to tell you the answer to the question I expected someone to ask, but nobody did. The question is, who played, stroke, sang that? Why don't you tell us? And my answer is, I'm using the musical examples that we hear to draw attention exclusively to the music. It's all about the music, as the name of the program indicates. The moment it becomes about the performer, the whole dynamic changes. Then we are no longer talking about the music itself, but about the interpretation of it by a particular person. In music, the performer is secondary to the composer and the music, and the performer has the responsibility to give an honest and valid performance of that music. Unfortunately, in our days of Hollywood hero worship, that dynamic has often changed. I have, in this case, with this song, named Judy Collins for the very good reason that she not only sang the song, but she also wrote it in 1967. It is hers. She has the right to decide on the performance and the interpretation. By the way, the subject of interpretation will be a topic for a future program. Let's have a short break. A word from our sponsors. Thank you for listening. Let's continue with the music. Next up, I have a work by Mozart, in which I would like us to revise the primary colors and the concept of modulation. This movement is in the key of F major, so let's quickly work out the notes and primary chords of F major, as I suggested to you last week. I trust that many of you got this right easily enough. Do you remember the major scale pattern? Whole step, half step. Whole step, whole step, half step. Let's do it. Starting on the note F, our pattern is whole step to G. In other words, on a keyboard we skip out the black key, or on a guitar we skip out a fret. Then we do another whole step from G to A, and then we need a half step. So that means that on a keyboard we need to move to the black key between the A and the B, or on a guitar we use the next fret instead of skipping one. The resulting note is called B but with a flat, in other words, B flat. From B flat, a whole step skips the white key B and goes to the C. Our next whole step is to D, our next whole step is to E, and our final half step takes us back to the home key, F. So the notes of the F major scale are F, G, A, B flat, C, D, E, and F. The F major home key chord will be F plus the dominant, which is five notes up, which is C, and the note in the middle, which we call the median, A. So the F major chord is F plus A plus C. The dominant chord of F major will start on C, which is the fifth note of the scale going up. And it is the same C major chord that we already found twice in C major and G major, C plus E plus G. The subdominant chord starts on the fifth note going down the scale. Remember, sub means below, which happens to be the B flat. We then need our key note F and the note in the middle called the submediant, the note D. This chord is called B flat major, and the notes are B flat, D, and F. The work by Mozart is the Piano Concerto in C, KV 467. We're going to hear the second movement, and then later on we'll hear the complete concerto, which is nicknamed Elvira Madigan, because the slow movement featured in that movie. Let's listen, and I will identify the chords the first few times they occur. The orchestra starts off. They start off with the F, then the C chord, then the F chord again, then the B flat chord, then many other chords, and the first section ends with the F chord, and at that point the piano starts and repeats the opening. This is the F major home key chord. We now have the C major dominant chord. Back to the F major home key chord. Now the subdominant chord B flat. Moving along to other chords. I apologize that I've had to fade the music out at that point, but I promise you that later in the program you will get to hear this entire movement towards the end of the program. If you thought you heard somebody singing along in this last section we've just heard, you didn't imagine it. It's not unusual for pianists to sing along as they're playing. It helps them to create the phrasing. So, no, you didn't imagine it. Apart from the chords, did you notice the mood of this movement? Calm, seductive, almost quietly blissful and peaceful. This mood was brought about by pitch which tended to be high, very high sounds of piano, violins and flute. Hardly any harshness in the harmonies, no very loud parts, and a slow and steady rhythm which consisted mostly of repeated chords at a slow pace. There were very clear phrases and punctuation, almost sing-along melodies. The other question I asked you to consider last week was, what are the advantages or disadvantages of writing simply a letter for a chord, as opposed to seeing the chord as part of a scale? Simplified letter notation, in other words, writing simply the letter C for the C major chord, F for the F major chord, and G for the G major chord, is straightforward and easy to understand, especially for beginners, and it's widely understood in many genres. But it lacks the context and deeper understanding provided considering chords within a scale. A deeper understanding of chords within the scale can lead to a more comprehensive and expressive musical experience. It does this because you understand the structure of the work. It allows one to make chord substitutions and to improvise, and it gives one the ability to transpose into other keys very easily. Both approaches have their merits depending on the musical context, the level of musicianship, and the specific goals of the musician. Now, our next piece is going to revise the concept of modulation. Simply stated, modulation means that the piece moves from the notes of one key to the notes of a different key. This is indicated when the notes of the new key appear and replace the previous notes in either the melody or the harmony or both. In this string quartet by Haydn, the change is from a minor key to a major key, and I will indicate the point where it happens. There is a significant pause in the music where this happens, and also where the music returns to the home key for the repeat. In the modulated section, only the primary chords of the new key appear. I will point them out the first time they occur. This is also good practice revision. So here we have the string quartet by Haydn. Scale, home key, subdominant, dominant, home key, subdominant, dominant, home key chord. Thank you. Did you note the light atmosphere of this movement? It's only got four string instruments, so there is none of the heaviness and full sound of an entire orchestra. It means that everything is crystal clear and can sometimes be even brutally clear, especially if the recording sound engineer decided to pump up the sound to make it sound fuller. This genre, string quartet and similar, is generally intended for a small auditorium or even a home concert, so the listeners are often in close proximity to the performers. This gives a whole different level of intimacy, which can only be experienced in a live performance and not in a recording. Our final piece for today is the entire concerto, of which we already heard the middle movement. That's the Elvira Madigan Piano Concerto of Mozart. I would like you to listen with attention and identify all the things that give you pleasure and try to think why it is that you enjoy them. This is hard, I know. We all know what we like, but often we can't say exactly why. As usual, we've heard a lot of music, and I hope it was meaningful for you, remembering always that the goal of music is to move us, and if we are not moved, then that is not acceptable. Next time I'm going to start working with the minor keys, but to get to them we have to first talk about modes. Have I raised your curiosity? Please join me then. Goodbye for now.